The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Come with me by faith. Look through the open door of heaven and find the safest place on earth. Standing before the throne of God, we are safe and secure.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley.
Today's message, Revelation's Three Safest Places, Part 2.
Enjoy, and remember you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Pastor Mark Finley.
So we look through the open door of heaven, and what do we see there? We see Jesus and a great multitude standing before the throne of God. Now they have something in their hands. What do they have in their hands? What do they have in their hands? Palm branches. Now, that's kind of strange. It is only strange if you don't understand the symbolism. What is this about the palm branches in their hands? Can you think of any time in the Bible where it talks about palm branches? Well, there are two instances that we want to notice. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. This is during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what was the Feast of Tabernacles? Feast of Tabernacles came at the end of the Jewish year. The Feast of the Day of Atonement was a day of sorrow. It was a day of soul searching. It was a day of cleansing of heart. It was a day of judgment. But the Feast of Tabernacles came at the end of the harvest. The seed had been planted. The crops had grown. The harvest had ripened. And the grain was brought in. So we look at Leviticus chapter 23, and we notice there verse 40. And there, as we look at verse 40, notice what the scripture says in the 40th verse of Leviticus 23. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord God 7 days. So the palm trees were a symbol that the harvest had been gathered, and waving the palm branches was a symbol of rejoicing. So when you think of the great multitude in Revelation 7 standing before the throne of God, you are thinking of songs of joy and gladness and rejoicing. You are thinking of the fact that in the Old Testament, the palm branches being waved represented the completion of the harvest. Now, can you think about any time in the New Testament when also we have palm branches mentioned? Can you think of any time like that? The what? The triumphal entry, right. John chapter 12, take your Bible, and then we'll put all this together. John chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. God has a wonderful plan for you, and you can participate in his heavenly plan that'll take place when Jesus comes. You can participate right now in that by faith. John chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. We find another description of these palm branches. And what do we find here? You got the great triumphal entry. They are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And as they sing, many of them take their palm branches and they spread them before the feet of Jesus as he enters into the city of Jerusalem in what we call the triumphal entry. John chapter 12. Verse 12 and 13, the next day, a great multitude. Did we see a great multitude around the throne of God? Did we see that there? Yes. Next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." So the placing of palm branches before Jesus on the triumphal entry is simply a foretaste of the glory that we will have in the triumphal entry of Christ into the heavenly sanctuary and praising God around that throne as he sits upon the throne. John sees a door open in heaven. And what do we see there? We have first great encouragement because there's a multitude there. It's not one or two people. Secondly, we have great hope there of security because God is still upon his throne. And above the confusion of the earth, God is still there. We need not worry because we can enter by faith today through the open door of heaven. We see there men and women not clothed in their righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you look at your works, you're always going to feel disappointed. But if you look at Jesus, he will change you by his grace and glory into his image. We see them waving palm branches and we say, "Lord, I want to wave those palm branches with a great multitude one day. I want to shout victory, hallelujah." We know that no matter what conflict there is in earth, what crisis there is in earth, what calamity there is in earth, that victory is ours. Victory is ours. So someday when sickness afflicts your body, someday when you are running out of finances and you have economic difficulties, someday when you are afflicted with famine, fire, flood, in your imagination, take your palm branch and wave it now and say, "Jesus, one day I'm going to stand around the throne of God and one day you're going to give me victory." Where do these people come from? What does the Bible say in Revelation 7? Where do they come from? They come out of what? Great what? Tribulation. Is a great tribulation coming? Indeed. Are these people going to be destroyed in the great tribulation? Not at all. They're going to come out of it. The trials of life one day will be over. Sickness, suffering, and death one day will be over. Joy will fill our hearts. Gladness will radiate through our beings. Redeemed by the blood of Christ, we are home at last, home at last, home at last. Before God's throne, we rejoice and we're safe forever. Let's look away from the trials of life now. Enter the safest place in the universe and by faith stand before the throne of God. Now there's a second place that's very safe. The first is before God's throne. The second is on Mount Zion. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 is divided into three parts. The first part are a people that are there with Jesus on Mount Zion. Second part is the message that gets them ready for Mount Zion. And the third part is the event for which they are prepared for. You say, I have Revelation 14, 1 to 5, the people. Revelation 14, 6 to 12, the message. Revelation 14, 13 to 20, the event that they're prepared for. Now, Revelation 14, we begin to look, and we're not going to get into the details of who the 144,000 are today. That will come another day. But we're going to look at some of their qualifications, some of their qualities. But there's one major thing I want you to see. Revelation 14, verse 1. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Who is the lamb? Jesus. And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Take mention of that, the father's name written in the foreheads. We will come back to it. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the great thunder. And I heard voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, that nobody could learn that song but the 144,000 who redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they're virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, and they're without fault before the throne of God. Now, where does the Bible say that these people are? It names a particular mountain. What's the name of that mountain? They're on Mount what? Zion. Now, when you read in the Bible the symbolism of Mount Zion, that is significant. Zion in the Bible always refers to the city of God. Now, the name was originally given to a Jebusite fortress The name Mount Zion literally means mountain fortress. What does it mean, everybody? What's that mean? Mountain fortress. So when you think of Mount Zion, you're thinking of what? Mountain fortress. Mount Zion is the high hill that David built his citadel on. It's on the southeast side of the city of Jerusalem. It means defense, a fortified place, or a stronghold. Here is the incredibly good news. In the calamities of life, in the confusion of life, by faith, we can look through the open door of heaven and flee to Mount Zion, the fortress of the living God, where the devil's wiles can never touch us. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 22nd verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. In our minds, by faith, we can grasp the reality that one day we will stand on Mount Zion with Christ. One day we will find Jesus as our refuge, our security, our defense. But by faith, we can live in Mount Zion today. Hebrews chapter 12, we are looking there at verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you, now remember, Hebrews 11 is about the worthies of faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, but you, believers, you who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, you who are awaiting the advent, but you have come to Mount Zion. And when we think of Mount Zion, what is Mount Zion, everybody? It is a place of refuge, a place of security. It is a fortress of defense. But you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now notice verse 3. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening and hope you're enjoying today's message. Our mission is to attractively present the Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way to people around the world so that they may experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share with confidence His life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Pastor Mark Finley.
To God, the judge of all, when we come to Christ and are bathed in His love, charmed by His grace, transformed by His power, when we live in the righteousness of Christ, our names are registered in heaven. By faith, we come to Mount Zion, and we are in the safest place in the world there. Christ is our fortress. Christ is our defense. Christ is our security. Christ is our protector. And Christ is our refuge. Hallelujah. Now notice something that's significant about this group. It says the Father's name is somewhere. Where's the Father's name? In their foreheads. Now you can receive the Father's name only in the forehead, but you can receive the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your hand. Why? Hand indicates power, coercion. So the beast power will force you. Forehead indicates volition, choice. So people are either deceived to receive the mark of the beast in their forehead, or they are forced to do it. But God has given us free will, so He will never force us. The Father's name in the forehead, the mark of the beast in the forehead. One is the sign of absolute allegiance to Christ. The other is the sign of absolute allegiance to the beast. One represents total commitment to heaven's authority. The other represents total commitment to the authority of the beast. One represents obedience to God and His commands. The other represents obedience to the beast and His commands. Here is the truth of the matter. Every single one of us will either receive the Father's name in our foreheads, the seal of God, or the mark of the beast. There is no alternative. There is no neutrality in Earth's last war. There's nobody that can say, hey, I don't want to vote in this election. We either vote for Jesus or we vote for Satan. Now, who are these 144,000? The Bible gives us a clue in Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. You'll find it there, Revelation 14, verse 4. Who are they? Revelation 14:4 puts it this way. They do something. These are they, Revelation 14:4. Can you read it with me, church? Let's read it together. These are they. These are the ones. That's where we're going to start. These are what? The ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men. Now notice it. They follow him there because they followed him here. They walk in the footsteps of Jesus in heaven because they walked in the footsteps of Jesus on earth. They know him there because they knew him here. They enjoy his presence in heaven because they enjoy his presence here. Do you enjoy the presence of Jesus? Do you enjoy the presence of Jesus? Do you enjoy those quiet moments that you spend alone with Jesus? They stand before his throne rejoicing in that day because he has established his throne in their hearts. Who is on the throne of your hearts? We follow the Lamb wherever he goes in heaven because we've been following the Lamb wherever he has gone on earth. Are you willing to follow him wherever he leads you? Are you willing to follow him in Sabbath keeping? Are you willing to follow him in tithe paying? Are you willing to follow him in health and your diet and reform? Oh, don't touch that one, Pastor. I mean, I'll follow him in Sabbath keeping. I'll follow him in tithe, but don't touch my diet, Lord, because I like those things too much, Lord. Please, please. Are you willing to follow him in dress and adornment? Are you willing to follow him in what you watch on the video? There will be a group of people, praise his holy name, that follows him wherever he leads. They will follow him wherever he leads. As it says in the book of Colossians, they set their affections on things above. He has weaned them from the affections of earth. Their desire is eternity. I love this reference by Ellen White that she wrote in an article in the Review and Herald, April 12, 1898, where she puts it this way. She says, we need not wait till we are translated to follow Christ. Don't you like that? We need not wait till we translate it to follow Christ. God's people may do this here below. We shall follow the Lamb of God in the courts above. Next word, what is it, everybody? Only if we follow him here. I want to follow him here, don't you? Following him in heaven depends on our keeping his commandments now. We're not to follow Christ fitfully or capriciously, only when it's to our advantage. We must choose to follow him. In daily life, we must follow his example as a flock trustfully follows its shepherd. We stand on Mount Zion, a place of refuge and security by faith. And as we stand on Mount Zion, we stand following the Lamb there because we have followed the Lamb here. Now, there's one more picture that we must see. Revelation 15, verse 2 to 7. The three safest places in the world. The first safest place is by faith, to stand with the multitude of all ages before the throne of God. The second safest place is by faith, to stand on Mount Zion and sense that Jesus is my defense, Jesus is my refuge, Jesus is my security, and decide to follow him wherever he leads. The third safest place we find in Revelation, the 15th chapter. Revelation chapter 15, we're going to look there at verse 2 and 3. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Those who have victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark. Will some people have victory over the beast? They will. By the grace of God, they will triumph. Victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass, having the harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Now they're standing someplace. Where are they standing, everybody? Where are they standing? On a sea. What's the sea made of? Glass. That's kind of confusing. Sea of glass? And the sea of glass is mingled with something. It's mingled with what? Fire. Now, in the Bible, What does fire represent? When a pillar of fire led Israel by night, what did it represent? When the fire came down between the cherubim in the sanctuary, what did it represent? The presence of God. So the fire leads Israel, that's the presence of God. The fire between the cherubim, the presence of God. When the disciples prayed on the day of Pentecost, fire came down from heaven. And what did that fire represent? The presence of God through the Holy Spirit. So when you stand on the sea of glass, what does that represent? Peter also talks about fiery trials that his church will go through. It represents the presence of God that's been with his people through every trial that they've ever experienced. So I look through the open door of heaven, and I imagine myself standing on the sea of glass, transparent glass that reflects the throne of God and the glory of his character. And I think of the symbolism of the fire, and I say, God, you've been with me through every trial. You've been with me through every difficulty. And you will sustain me so one day I can stand on the sea of glass and have victory over the beast and the powers of hell. And I can sing with those from every tribe and every nation and every people. I can sing the song of Moses. Now, in the Bible, there are three songs of Moses. Did you know that? Three songs of Moses in the Bible. One song is in Exodus 15, one song is in Psalm 90, and one song is in Deuteronomy 32. Three songs of Moses in the Bible. The first song of Moses in the Bible is a song of victory. Moses and the Israelites go through the Red Sea after the Egyptian plagues. As they go through that sea and that miracle is worked, the Egyptians attempt to go through that sea and come crashing down upon them, the sides, and they are destroyed. On the other side of the sea, Miriam leads the children of Israel to sing a song of Moses, which is the horse and the rider. God is cast into the sea. We are safe and secure. So the song of Moses is a song of victory, that every foe has been defeated, that the evil powers have been vanquished, that Satan is no longer has his grip upon us. That's one aspect of the Song of Moses. The second aspect of the Song of Moses you read is in the 90th Psalm. Now, the 90th Psalm is an amazing psalm. It's the Song of Moses in which Moses talks about God's sustaining presence despite Israel's waywardness and departure from God's will. It begins, and take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 90. And this is the second song of Moses in the Bible. Psalm 90. This song is encouraging. Israel sings it. Israel was wayward from God. And this is the song or the prayer of Moses. It talks about the eternity of God, man's frailty. And the first verse says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So it speaks about Israel's sinfulness, Israel's unfaithfulness, but the faithfulness of God. So when we sing the song of Moses, we are singing, God, although we've been unfaithful, you have been faithful. Although we've sinned, you've been righteous. Although we've been unholy, you've been holy. And we've accepted your righteousness. You've covered our sins. You've changed our life. You've empowered us. We sing the song of Moses. So Exodus 15, the song of victory. Psalm 90, the song of God's faithfulness in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness. Now, in Deuteronomy 31, and I'll summarize that for you, Moses is about ready to die. He's about ready to go up on the mount and look over to the promised land. He wants to go into the promised land. He says, God, please take me into the promised land. Don't let me die among the Midianites, among the Amorites. Don't let my bones bleach in the sands of the heathen. God, take me in. And God says, Moses, you sinned. You can't go in. And Moses goes up on the mountain of Horeb and dies. But yet God had a better plan for him. He's going to resurrect him from the dead and bring him to eternity. Rather than leading him to the earthly promised land, God is going to take them there to the place of eternity. The song of Moses in Deuteronomy 31 revealed what was to come, and it emphasized God's faithfulness. And in that Song of Moses, in Deuteronomy 31 and 32, God is mentioned as the rock of stability four times. Even as God's people chased their whims and trusted their feeble gods, and God remained steadfast, unchanging, the source of salvation. What a day that is going to be. When we stand on the sea of glass, mingled with fire, see the reflected glory of God, sense that God is with us in every trial and every difficulty. Sing the song of Moses like in Exodus 15, the song of victory over the powers of hell. Sing the song of Moses, Psalm 90, that God is with us in our unfaithfulness. Sing the song of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, that God is our rock. That through all of life, when the ground is shaking beneath us, we still had a rock of security.
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more in our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought from Pastor Mark.
Standing before the throne of God, we know that He still reigns. Come with me to Mount Zion by faith, the place of refuge and security. He will never, ever let you go.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.